you don't feel the same. When looking for change, got more than you hoped.
Hello everybody, you are listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and sitting with me in my very tiny Westtown apartment is Ty Maxson.
Hello, everybody.
There you go. And Ty is going to be playing with Mark, who is Spare Machine from Lesser Birds of Paradise, this upcoming Monday at the Hungry Brain. That's why he's in this very tiny room. Ty and I met about, 20 minutes ago?
That's right.
About 20 minutes ago. He's a very fine gentleman. He's got a beard and long hair.
I do.
And he's a thin gentleman. So ladies that are on the prowl, or gentlemen, I don't know. I don't want to talk about your life like that. It's up to you. Anyways, Ty is going to be opening the show, and Ty is a musician, and Ty writes really pretty songs, and it's usually just him and a guitar. Correct?
Thank you. I'm glad you think they're pretty. that is true. Okay. Usually by myself. So,
how was you when you were first starting to play music? Did you initially play by yourself, or were you in a band? What was the impetus of playing music?
I grew up with my dad playing music. He always had a guitar around the house, and go on these road trips, and we'd always have the Beatles playing, and could see the changing landscapes, and that made a big impression. And my grandfather was a self-taught organ player, and I think those were the sort of first things that really got me thinking about music. I could see how people responded to him playing or my dad playing, and I liked that. And as far as I remember, I was just kind of remember making up songs to myself, and when my dad showed me my first sort of chords on the guitar, so when it kind of started happening, it was probably 13.
So you started playing around 13?
Yeah.
Okay, and what did your grandfather and what did your father think of this?
My dad loved it. He was kind of, he thought it was funny how fast I was catching on. I kind of immediately started playing the songs that he had always been playing, which were like the same five country songs always. And now when I go home, I can teach him more songs and ask me some new songs to play. But he still always plays like the same five tunes. It's pretty funny.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in St. Joseph, Michigan.
Okay, for those of you that aren't from the Midwest, or if you're, it doesn't, maybe this is a worldwide thing, the hand thing. For the listener, if they hold up their right hand, is it, or their left hand? Does it matter?
It'd be your right hand.
If you hold up your right hand and have the palm facing you, yes?
Correct.
And now you point to somewhere on your hand to represent where you're from in Michigan. Where do you point, sir?
Basically on the lower left side of the
so
hand.
So the lower left side, so the hand on the left side is Lake Michigan, correct?
Should be.
Okay. So you're right over Lake Michigan to Chicago.
Correct. Yeah.
So St. Joseph, Michigan.
St. Joseph, Michigan.
Small town, big town, moderate farming town.
It's a little of all of those things. Okay. St. Joseph itself is small, but it's a lakeside community, so we definitely get our fair share of tourists in the summertime. In the wintertime, there's not really much going on, but it's sort of surrounded by a lot of farming communities. So you can drive out to the country really quick. There's a lot of great woods and like nature reserves to go to. I worked at one for a few years. It's a little kind of a mix.
So coming from there, were a lot of your peers playing country music? Were they playing rock and roll? What did it sound like growing up there?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I hope it is.
I don't really remember. Like I said, I mean, just my first experiences were my dad, and I sort of always equate sort of old country songs to that landscape, the landscape of not just like the lakeside, but more like the country, those kind of places. There were definitely bars and things you could go and hear any kind of music in any kind of night, but that was to come much later for me, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your grandfather, your father, they're both musicians, and you decide to become a musician, or at least to start playing guitar at a young age.
Sure.
And you're so why aren't you still there? What made you want to move to Chicago and play out to a larger audience?
I just kind of felt the itch to leave. You know, I had, even in high school, I was ready to go. And
do you think? But why were you ready to go? Was it an age thing, or was it just you wanted to be in a city?
I was kind of hungry, I guess, for more experience, and it didn't really matter where.
Okay.
When it finally came to the time to leave home, I lived in Grand Rapids for a while, and that was my first taste of a small city, but I suppose, new experiences, freedom to, you know, walk around at night and meet people. Mm-hmm. And that definitely satisfied that hunger to some degree. And it was all sort of feeding the writing a little bit. And I think that's what it was always about, wanting to go somewhere else and see what happened and not really have a plan for things. So mm-hmm. Chicago was kind of the next stop along the way, and I'm still here. I really like it here. It's good. Cool. Yeah.
I love it here. I have the exact opposite experience as you. since you were from a family that was musically supportive, was it difficult to, like, rebel musically? Did you even think about that? How does that work?
Not much rebellion from my family. I never had any opposing views. They always backed me up. Mm-hmm. If I rebelled against anything, it would be more or less what people think you should do with your life, and unwanted advice, sort of those of things. It really more started off with just general curiosity into the mysteries of life, I suppose, and music. When I heard a certain song when younger, I just always remember the feeling of things around me seeming more important for some reason, even like in a 3-minute song or something. Everything became illuminated for a moment, and I think that's what initially made me want to make music. And I think a good song, the best thing it can do is sort of inspire you to do something, and I would hope that I would do that if somebody liked what they heard. So
okay, well, now that you're in Chicago and you're writing these songs that you like, obviously, what's the goal for them? Is the goal to form a band? Is it just to keep releasing albums? Because you have quite a few albums for someone so young.
It's sort of a song by song thing. It always kind of has been. For the next record, I'm starting to write songs and I hear other parts in them, so that would be, I need to find some people to play with. The goal is just to make these songs and to play them for people. And so far it's been going well because I'm making a lot of friends based on music, an equal love for each other's songs, and it's kind of a cool way to do it. Working so far, slowly.
You were in a band at one point.
Yes.
This is high school?
I was in a couple of bands. My first band was in high school, and that was kind of a fun thing we just threw together. We had a variety show, and then we're like, let's keep doing this. People seem to dig it, and we had a good time. It was like a saxophone player, a really great drummer. Everybody in the band was awesome. Then after that, I was younger than they were. They went off to college and sort of, fell apart. But later on, I started playing more, writing more songs, made a few of my own records, and then fell in with another band in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and that was a good time, too. We played sort of just rock and roll music, but mm-hmm. our kind of brand of rock and roll, I suppose. And I moved to Chicago because we were sort of stuck there, I thought, but I sort of regret it because it was a good time,
Did the band, I'm assuming they broke up.
They did, yeah.
Okay. You don't play rock and roll now.
No.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I liked about the band. It sort of brought a lot of things out of me. Basically, it was my songs and this other good friend of mine still, Chris Forestieri, his songs. And he, one of the most amazing guitar players I've ever seen, he kind of, brought all these other elements out of my songwriting, and I think it did the same for him. So it was just one of those good situations where things are popping, energy, so.
You went to school for a while to study music theory.
I did.
Did that actually help you become a songwriter, or did it put too many thoughts in your head?
It was sort of...
That sounds very odd.
No, I totally understand. It was something totally separate than songwriting. I'm sure, somehow it must have filtered through to the music part of it. That was a long time ago, but basically that was like my job, mm-hmm. and then I would write songs, and I didn't really see how they had anything to do with each other, and I really liked it. My teachers were fantastic. They believed in my abilities, but sort of after a while, kind of sucked the life out of me a little bit, and I was sort of disillusioned with music.
Why did it suck the life out of you?
Because it was so technical and dry, even though it was rich stuff we were studying, mm-hmm. and it was breaking apart the things that and love and trying to figure out what's inside of it. I really liked that, but it didn't feel right to me at the time. And I was very young, and I kind of, you know, just wanted to write songs, you know. Mm-hmm. Looking back on it, maybe I should have, you know, kept doing it. But
that's a bad thing to do.
It just didn't happen, and I'm fine for it, you know.
Okay, so you were in a band. You were also playing solo. You're coming from a musical family. So it seems like you've always been either singing around the house. Like, I envision this like a giant campfire of love, which is very odd to me to think of musically. Because I come from the place where you start playing guitar because everyone tells you you shouldn't, and you should make a lot of loud noises. Mm-hmm. So this is a lot different from what I'm used to. So how is it playing out when you're just you and an acoustic guitar, and you have your songs and no one else, and you're not playing your band songs, you're just playing your songs? How is that? Is there a difference? Do you like it? Is it difficult to do? Is it just like breathing to you at this point?
It's always difficult because you never really know what the place is going to be like that you're playing. So for me, if it's a small room and people are there to listen, it's usually a good time because there's a lot of words in my songs, and if I'm playing in a smoky corner of a bar where there's, you know, televisions and stuff, it sort of gets lost in the background, and not in a good way. It's like just in a nothing kind of a way.
If you know you're going to be playing at a place that has the televisions in the corners, will you still play it just to get the experience, or will you just say no at this point?
I don't really like to do that anymore unless I have to, and that means, you know, they're going to pay me very well, and I'll probably adjust my set if it's that kind of a thing. At this point, I'm really sort of not into that much, and I just kind of play my own songs and covers if I feel like it.
Okay.
So more or less, the places that come to hear new music are the places that I like to be playing at.
So where do you like to play in Chicago?
The Uncommon Ground has been really kind to me. They have a really great room. People there always come to listen to music, and it's always, you know what you're getting into for the most part there. The Gallery Cabaret is also another one of those places.
But the Gallery Cabaret and the Uncommon Ground are quite different. I mean,
certainly.
The Uncommon Ground is, what, $10 usually a cover?
It's been free when I've played there.
Good, yeah. That's probably better. Yeah. It's not the cheapest of places to drink.
Certainly not.
They have very nice food, and it's in a really nice neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
The Gallery Cabaret is a dive bar, and it's free, and it could be really loud, and no one could be listening to you.
Sure. The nights that I've gone there were for songwriters, so it was sort of like open mic night, but only for original music. So the crowd that came knew what they were getting into, and the few times I've been there have been nothing but a good experience, and yeah, I like that place a lot. It's really cool.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
You moved to Chicago a few years ago.
Yes.
And you just said you kind of just wanted to move to a city. It didn't really matter which one.
Yeah.
Okay, but you're still here.
Indeed.
Why? Why are you still here? What about it do you enjoy? Is it making you a better songwriter?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, songwriting's kind of always happened wherever I was, and what I like about Chicago, it's, for me anyway, kind of a harder place to live. I don't make a lot of money, but it all sort of goes into, it feeds something, I suppose. I like walking around. I really just like the atmosphere, I suppose, like the buildings, and I don't really know how to explain it, but it's there's some sort of energy here that's a little bit faster than I'm used to anywhere else, and I'm still kind of getting used to it. I'm not really done experiencing yet, I suppose. Yeah.
So you said done experiencing it, which makes it seem like there's a definite time to move on.
It always kind of seems like that. There's okay. No like plans or anything, but I don't quite, even though this is my home and I feel at home here, I'm not ready to spend my life here. I suppose there's lots of other places I'd like to see, and I would go wherever I'd have to go to play music, I suppose. So
here's the thing. Are you a songwriter or are you a performer?
I'd probably call myself a songwriter.
So would you want to ever sell your stuff? Would you want to be just like the ghostwriter for anyone?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on the situation. I can't really foresee what that would be like, I guess. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be opposed to it if it wasn't... I don't know. Yeah. It would really depend, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your songwriting process like? I mean, is it the kind of thing where you have to practice it and every day you try to write a song and then rework it for weeks? Is it the kind of thing where you'll have five songs in a day? What's it like?
It comes in different ways, I suppose. There's always like three songs happening at once, and they all sort of happen at the same time or start at the same time. They could happen with like a melody that comes into my head and then sounds of words that match the melodies, and then it sort of kind of builds theirself, and I can kick it around in my head all day when I'm walking around. And that'll happen with a few other songs, and one of those songs usually wins out and I focus more on that. I never really sit down and try to write a song. It usually sort of happens, and I think those are the best tunes for me anyway. And then I'll go back and finish the other two. So there's always, you know, sometimes the well does dry up and I have to just kind of let it be for a little while. That's usually how it goes. It's never like a definite thing, like I'm going to write a song in the morning time, but more or less it always seems like I'm up very late working on something, though, because that's...
You're a late writer, you're not an early riser.
That's the only time I can really be alone. I feel like most of the world is asleep or around me anyway, and I just can really focus, I suppose, or just let whatever needs to come out, because during the day I've plenty of other things to be thinking about. Yeah. And I still try to work on those songs in the day, but you know, oftentimes it gets pretty cluttered trying to do so. So yeah.
You're most of the people that I know that are in bands or that perform usually have some sounding boards. You're a solo artist. Who is your sounding board? Do you have one?
I started writing songs before I really listened to any music, as far as like what would influence me, I suppose.
Continue on that, please.
Yeah. Well, I like when, like I already mentioned, when my father gave me a guitar, I, you know, first kind of started trying to make up my own songs, and the melodies were already sort of happening there, and I would, you know, kind of, I was making up songs already, and, you know, was playing the songs that he was playing as well. But later on, I started listening to other music. I'd always listened to the Beatles because I grew up with them. And that's when I sort of, I never really feel like that shaped any of the songs that I made, but it definitely showed me what songs could be and their potential. Neil Young, definitely big influence. As far as how I feel about music and just a guy and a guitar, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's a guy and a guitar, but that guy's played with so many other acts. And
absolutely.
He came from a band. Then he was a solo artist, but his band was consistent for many a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how is it like without that band for many years?
Like Neil Young? Like just
in general for you?
You know,
I mean,
without a band? I like that feeling of being alone on a stage. I can sort of pick up on what's going on in the room. I can feel if the crowd is liking it. And it's hard to explain, but there's always, like, if it's a good night, there's always this sort of moment of, like, people just quieting down all of a sudden and absolute silence. And it usually happens in the middle of a song. And then you know you kind of have them. And it feels really good. And just kind of this like collective sort of a thing, and I like that about being a solo musician. I loved playing in a band too, and you can certainly get to those moments, but it's different. It's a different energy. I suppose what I'm more drawn to as a fan of music, or that's not necessarily true. What has more of a powerful effect on me is a person and their guitar and what they can do with that, and like how much power just that has. You can sort of like free associate with, and you can almost fill in all the spaces that other instruments aren't doing. You can hear that stuff going on in your head, even though it's just, you know, a solo performer. But Townes Van Zandt is a huge influence on me, I suppose. Dylan, of course, as well. Just these guys and a guitar that can really just shake a room. Mm-hmm. And it's like a gentle thing, but a very powerful thing at the same time. And I like that.
Yeah. When you're about to perform, are you nervous in any way?
Oh, yeah.
When it's over, do you feel relief?
Yeah.
When you're doing it, is it kind of like how an athlete always talks about like performance, where you just there's no thought in your head whatsoever?
That's what I aspire to in each set. if I start thinking about it too much, it usually means that I don't think the crowd is really into it, and that's when it's just not a good time. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things about being a solo performer and being in a band. In a band, even if it's not a good night, you can still have a really good time because you got like five other people to be up there with you. Mm-hmm. You're not alone, you know. You can hide behind the smallest sound you guys are making, and you can get lost in it a little easier. You can certainly get lost in it as a solo performer, which is what I try to do. But you're more apt to, like, you're more sensitive to the fact that, like, you're alone up there, you know. So, yeah, basically.
So what's the ideal situation for you? Are you touring 300 days a year? Are you in a cabin working on an album for 6 months? What happens? Ideal world, money is not an issue.
What do I want to be doing?
Yes. Tomorrow. Not the five-year plan. Tomorrow. Yeah. You wake up, you have anything you want.
I would like to be traveling and playing music. The last 5 years or whatever, that's really all I really wanted to do is just sort of be on the move and meet new people and play my songs for them mm-hmm. and make more songs. So
why?
I think that's what my definition of life is right now. I feel like when I'm on the move, I'm a little more open to what's going on in the world, not just my little corner where I am all the time. I don't want to get too used to a place because that's what you start thinking the rest of the world is like. You know, when I just got back from Alaska a couple of days ago, and I feel sort of, it was great, man. I feel very, you know, renewed. It was good to be in a place where there was no sign of people for a while. I didn't bring a guitar. I didn't have really much anything. We just camped and kind of feel, you know, all cleaned out, I suppose. But now I'm just kind of like, you know, I have a different look at my day-to-day life here, which sometimes is sort of silly, the things I really get wrapped up in, you know. But I think all traveling does that. It doesn't matter where you go. You're on the move. It's something new every day. I think at this point in my life, that would be a healthy thing, and staying somewhere too long, not so much. Especially for writing purposes, so
it helps if you're playing a lot. So you'll be more creative if you're playing consistently and traveling.
Staying active, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think songs would happen regardless, but the kind of songs that I'm more interested in are newer songs and newer subject matters and just new landscapes. I guess, you know, it's hard to really talk about, but when you stay in the same place, which I have before, you can make songs and that are good songs, or, you know, what you would consider good songs, but there's not really much you're talking about that's different. You're just talking about it in different ways because you're still in the same place, and that's okay, but I really just would like to be moving, I suppose. So we'll see if I get there, you know. Like I said, I like Chicago, and there's still a lot to do here, and that's what I like about the city, that it's like a melting pot of music and art and people, and even though I'm in the same place, mm-hmm. it sort of feels like I'm moving too. That's what the city can do for you. I really dig that. So.
What do you like locally?
My the friends that I'm making are some of the greater songwriters I've met in my life. Chris Darby is a really good friend of mine, great songwriter. Ryan Suzuka, awesome. Jeff Berkeley, a good friend of mine. I'm feeling like I'm missing a bunch of people.
No, don't worry about it. I'll cut you up.
But there's a lot of good stuff, you know. I mean, a lot of good friends, yeah.
Ty, you and I are completely different people.
Oh, yeah?
Completely, yes. Going to camp in Alaska sounds like torture to me.
It was cool. I mean, it was something new for me. It's not something I was excited about it, but it was like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Ran into a bear on the trail one day. It was kind of a trip.
Did you have a giant gun?
Really big. No, I just wrestled it.
That's good.
I won.
That's
cool.
Good. That's very nice. That's why you're here. Ty, thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me, man.
We're not done, though.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. So I need you to pick a number between 1 and 260.
26.
Wait. I'm used to going into the 200s, so good job. 26. Would you like to have an identical twin? What about it would be best? Question. Worst? Question.
No, I wouldn't, I suppose.
Okay, why?
Why wouldn't I like to have an identical twin? I don't really want somebody that knows me that well, I suppose.
That's fair.
On the other hand, I guess that could be a good thing, too.
I just want them for organ donations.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
That makes total sense. Specifically, like, you could be separated at birth, but still have it.
That's true.
I mean, that's the way to go. Ty, where should people look at you up? Look at you up. What the hell's wrong with me? Where should people go on the internet to find you?
Well, of course, I have a MySpace, Timex in MySpace. And in the next month, I'm hopefully going to have a website up and running, so timexin.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this.
No, thank you for having me.
On next Monday, June 8th, Ty and Mark, who is Spare Machine, whatever you want to call him, the guy from Lesser Birds of Paradise, they will be performing at the Hungry Brain. It's a free show. We're going to ask for donations. Every penny of that goes to the band, which they will hopefully in turn spend at the bar to drink a lot. It's a wonderful time out. It's at the Hungry Brain, like all of them are. If you want any information on that night or any of the future events, just go to the website. Once again, thanks to Ty. We're going to close with this music and have a wonderful evening.
Heaven's blue shore lay covered in dark storms, and your dreams don't show what you search for. Know your name, been buried away somewhere long ago. You don't feel the same when looking for change, got more than you hold. The bright gold of your guardian's halo has faded to a dim glow, and you wandered down a path where the rocks roll, and soon they're gonna mow you down. You're feeling alone and so afraid. You sense your grave not far down the road. Can't get back where you came. Down the way is the only way to go. Small town, big city.